Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Gary was telling me that last Sunday, after he heard the 9 o'clock service, he said, last Sunday, he said, I preached virtually an identical service to what you preached. And wait till you hear me. Oh, you didn't hear what he said, but it just sounded like we'd gotten together and decided to share. Matter of fact, he said to his church, I'm praying that you are going to have an anxiety-free week. And he even texted them and encouraged them along there. And in essence, that's a better title than I had in a way. So how to have an anxiety-free week or an anxiety-free life, not to be controlled by fear, but to be controlled by faith. And so I want to read from Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is beautiful, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And the last promise is that the God of peace will be with us all. I know this about the Lord, that he said more about fear than he did about sin. Did he have views on sin? I'm sure he did. But he spoke more about fear than sin. He was always saying, as one thing we know about Jesus, he was always saying, fear not. Don't fear. Don't let this be a worry in your life. From the angel in Matthew 1, where he speaks to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, and he says to him, he says, fear not. And to Mary Magdalene at the resurrection, what is he saying to her? Fear not. This wonderful ministry of Jesus. From his birth till his death, Jesus was always lifting fear off his people. He lifted fear off of. In other words, one of his ministries, not just to pay the price of redemption for us, that we could have sins forgiven, not only that we would have a place in heaven and that we'd have a relationship with him, but he came to set captives free. And if there's anything that we need to be set free from, it's from fear. It cripples us. It hinders us. It ties us up. It doesn't do us any good. So Jesus lifted off people, the fears, from their heart and from their heads, from their minds. And so hour by hour, that's how life unfolds. Somebody said the problem with life is it's so daily. Today and then tomorrow and then the next. It's always, well, I would take it further. It's not just daily, it's so hourly. It's amazing, one hour I feel so close to Jesus, it feels like I am Jesus. Little messianic moment there, but just felt like I was Jesus. And the next moment, I'm wondering where Jesus went. I don't sense him. I don't feel him. I wonder if this thing is even working. You know, and I'm so full of anxiety, and I'm running around in my head just full of anxiety. See, by nature, I'm not a worrywart, but I have to confess many times I have had great anxiety. Anxiety about the church, anxiety about individuals, anxiety about myself. Then when my wife wasn't feeling very well, I was worried about her, and then I was worried about our cat. Our cat wasn't doing well, and I remember being so worried about the cat. Well, you know you're in trouble. You know, when the pastor of your church is awake at night thinking about the cat instead of you. But it just shows you the craziness of anxiety. But there's one thing that fear and anxiety are only pushed out by confidence and faith. That's just the truth of it. But yet the effects of fear are apparent. They touch every portion of our life. You would be lying if you said, oh, I just think about Jesus all day long. Would you did? That would be great. But you don't, because I don't either. And I'm reminded by the Lord that in order to live a life anxiety-free, anxiousness-free, requires a real grace, work of grace in our lives. It's just not something, okay, let's buck up, right? You know, let's all be strong. Let's not worry. Let's try hard. It's not that. There's a grace that's given to us. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, this is a great antidote for fear, anxiety, from worry, torment. See, the thing about worry, why we have to deal with it. We say, why are we dealing with it? We have to deal with it because the Bible tells us fear brings torment. It will torment your life. And when it gains a little hold, it gains it more. And then finally, there's just anxieties going. You know, there are people on medication because of anxiety. There's people in the hospital because of worry. Worry and fear will take you down. That's why we must understand the biblical principles about how to live in a dependency on the Lord. That, yes, we feel things. This is not kind of a numbing. You know, this is not kind of a just, that's all right. There's an initialness about that, which I'll talk about in just a moment here. But the Lord has freedom for all of us. And I want to share about that this morning. So God begins to break fear off us from the time of our conversion. And it's kind of interesting about this. If you read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15, he's saying that we've been held in lifelong bondage to the fear of death. That is the thing that God breaks off first. When you come to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he does that work of redemption, obviously. He writes our name in the book of life, for sure. But what else would he do? He delivers you from the fear of dying. I have talked with a lot of people. And just a few weeks ago, somebody said to me, they said, I have a real fear of dying. I said, Now, in this case, the person doesn't know the Lord. But they have a real fear. How many know that can be a real, genuine experience to have, is the fear of dying. But the one thing the Lord wants to take from us is to break that we don't have that fear of dying. Do we want to die? No. You know, you don't want to die. But I'm going to die unless the Lord comes. You're going to die. And so the most beautiful thing on earth that will ever be is a Christian funeral when that person knows the Lord. It's different. Oh, I've been at funerals that were so agonizing. The fear that was there, the dread that was there, the grief that was there, the horribleness of it. And I thought, oh, no wonder people don't want to die. It was a dark moment. I couldn't wait to get out of the place. It was so oppressive. That was the funeral. It was oppressive. Why? Because there was no hope. There was no freedom. And everybody was full of anxiety and fear. So there's freedom from the fear of death. That is something you can claim. That we don't care how we go out. Nobody wants to be in pain, but we're not afraid of dying. Why? Because Jesus says the devil has held people their whole lives because of that. So the Lord comes, and the first thing he does is cuts the root so that can't be a problem. See, how can you live if you're afraid to die? How can you take a step outside if you're afraid to die? How can you go to the hospital if you're afraid to die? Right? How can you do that? We must be free from fear. And to live above it by the grace of God. Not by our own energy, but by the grace of God. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I encourage you to play the game of the hour. Isaiah 26, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I love that verse. I just so appreciate that verse. You see, we all have had an hour of anxiety. You know, we say it was a dark hour. It was an hour of fear, whatever else we might describe it. So we've all had that type of anxiety in your life. You've had to feel shocks and disappointments and sorrows in the hour of your need. And so it's in the hour that I'm suggesting that we need to recover from the shock, from the disappointment, from the setback, from the reversal, whatever else would happen. We have to learn how to overcome that so that we foreshorten the time that it has us in fear. So in other words, you get a bad phone call, and it's not the call you wanted to hear about a loved one. And so that first while, there's just, I'm so sorry. Because we're human, we feel that. And we're supposed to feel that. But there's also a problem. I think that within an hour, we need to gain some composure. I don't mean the actual 60 minutes. I'm talking about the moment. That okay, all right, I got the call. Lord, I cast my fears on you. I cast myself on you. I'm trusting you. See, it's in the hour that we must recover from all fear and all anxiety. Within the hour, the equilibrium can be obtained so that we can minister to other people, so that we can be efficient and helpful instead of being maybe part of the problem. So we've got within the hour, the equilibrium can be obtained, and we recover our peace, and we recover somewhat of our joy, even in the midst of a sadness. They're saying, okay, I can feel the peace of the Lord again, ruling in my heart, whatever that would be, whatever bad news would come, and a rest in the Lord. And so it's a good game to play. So what I'm suggesting is, this week, and like Gary said, how to have an anxiety-free week, I'm suggesting this, play this game. That whatever little thing is, oh no, somebody backed into my car. Now, you know how, oh, for a pizza, you know, we're kind of lost it, right? We're not that effective because we're so upset. I'm saying you've got an hour to bring that, to rein that in. Let that be an hour. Rein it in. Let it hit you fully. Someone ran in my car. It's not a positive thing, right? But I am not going to let that control me, so I'm going to surrender that to the Lord. And so the hour is par. And then within that time, you want to subordinate all the other things that are happening. So we can see if we can recover within the hour. To recover, no, say, what are we recovering? Your poise. I think the Christian life is lived in poise. And we recover not just our poise, but our victory. Bad news, difficult situation, call from the doctor. Find out your bank account is overdrawn. Find out that your flat tire's flat. Oh, brother. There's people who've lost a whole day because their tire was flat in the morning. They were out of sorts for the whole day. I'm suggesting bring it under par. Bring it to that point where you're just dealing with it and surrendering it to the Lord, which I'll describe that. So there are many smaller shocks and reversals that can be solved within a few minutes. You know, there's some small things, right, where you lock your keys out of your car. Nothing is more... seeing your keys swinging a little bit in the ignition. And then you kick yourself around the block. I'm suggesting, say, deal with it, but then surrender it to the Lord that you can live above that constant kind of anxiety and disappointment. So the big shocks and the big disappointments and the large reversals and the large setbacks, they come our way, but we must make them yield to victory. They cannot define me. Right? They cannot define me. They'll happen, but they can't define me. Our faith rises up. That's within the hour. We're going to live under par that we say, okay, I've got 60 minutes to deal with anything that's making me feel anxious or prone to worry or fear. But our faith rises up and we hear the Lord saying, and just a few weeks ago, I was feeling just a real bout of anxiety, a certain thing is going on. And I felt the Lord say, just as clear as, I heard it and I didn't hear it, and I didn't hear a voice, and if you would have been there, you wouldn't have heard a voice, but I knew that it was God. He said, don't worry about this. Don't worry about this. He spoke to me and said, don't worry about this. Now, what am I going to do with that? Am I going to worry about it? Thank you, Lord. That was for me. That was the word for me. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to be concerned about it. I think that's responsible. But I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to let it smother me. I'm not going to let it bring me down where I have no confidence. I have no faith. I'm falling apart. See, my point is we're called to the kingdom for such a time as this. We're called to be, in a sense, ever ready. And there's a crisis. We want to be that we can solve, that we can help that problem. Not that I become the problem because I'm so out of sorts and so beside myself. And so the problems or crisis may not be resolved. Now, I'm aware, as you are, there's some things that it's a bigger problem that's going to go away in an hour. It might be a lifetime. I mean, some things are really serious things, right? Losses in our lives, loved ones that have gone on, illness that we face. So I'm not saying that there's not going to be any problems. But what I am saying is that the problem or the crisis will, it'll be our attitude towards this issue that can be reversed within the hour. And that's what we should, and that's so we can play that game. Whenever it ever happens, say, okay, Lord, I'm going to have a chance to put this to work. By the end of that hour, I'm going to be praising you. I'm going to be trusting you. I'm going to say, God's working this out for good, like the songs that we heard this morning. And I didn't even have a word to say with Cam. I didn't talk to him all week long about those songs. And I thought, oh, that's great. Because he's working everything for good. And that's within that hour. So we surrender our problems into the hands of the Lord and we trust him. So what happens? Okay, Lord, now I trust you for guidance in the solution. What should I do? I was saying in the first service, funny when you're really under it and with worry, how even the tires on your car kind of accuse you. You know, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Shut up! You know, you might be in the kitchen and it's the washing machine. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? And you don't know what. And this is the reason. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to shout victory. I'm going to say, God's working this out. I don't know how we're going to pay for that. I don't know how that's going to work out. But in the name of Jesus, I will not walk in fear. I will not walk in trepidation. I will walk in the strength of the Lord. That's the difference. And so we regain our poise. Now, we're not being flippant. We're not one Cheshire cat grin all the time and say, oh, I'm getting my equilibrium here, brother. They say, it's a little tight-lipped, isn't it? It's a little trying a little hard there. That's not exactly inviting. Well, I'm trusting Jesus, but he told me in church. No, that's not. You know, cast all your care upon him. All of your care. And so, by playing the game of the hour, we're enabled to adjust ourselves. That's what it's about. You've got some time to adjust. Okay, the shock is that now I got the news. This is what it is. It is what it is. Christians should never try to have life kind of filter. Say, well, like now it doesn't look quite as scary. I can see them through, you know, through alcohol or through drugs or through anything else. We never try to shelter ourselves from experiencing the impact. We must allow the impact to hit us soundly, to thoroughly. So we're not pretending. We're not hoping. I mean, we are simply, okay, it hit me fully. I've not tried to filter it in any way. That's the news. That's the situation. Now, what is the question? Well, now I must adjust myself to every hard problem, every hard bump within the hour. So here's a prayer, which sounds something like this. Dear Lord, give me that resilience of spirit. There it is. That resilience of spirit that can come back from any sorrow. A spirit of resilience that can bounce back from any sorrow, from any shock, from any bad news, from disappointment. You know, you've broken up with somebody that you loved. We don't make fun of that. We say, oh, well, there's nothing to it. Just trust God, you know. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. No, we say, no, that must be awful. And they describe it. But then we say, listen, but you've got to now turn this. You must put your hand in the hand of the Lord. You must proclaim that he is your helper, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what you must do. So help me, Lord, to foreshorten my period of shock. There will be shock. But to foreshorten it, my period of fear, foreshorten it, and cause me, Lord, to come back quickly. I'm down, but you can't keep the righteous down. Though they stumble seven times, they will rise again, the Bible says. And that's what we must do. I can allow myself a measure of self-pity, a measure of anger, a measure of anxiety, but then I must rise up and say, in Jesus' name, I'm going to walk in the peace and the joy of the Lord. I was telling in the first service, one time in the Sunday, about 2 years ago, we were in holidays right after the service, but I announced, because I think it has something to do with spiritual stuff, but I announced here, I said, Satan, Jesus has defeated you. That's how the service ended, and we all went out to the patio. I jumped in the car, and we just crossed the border to go to Bellingham, and all of a sudden, I'm driving along with at that time, brand new tires, and boom! I mean, it went like only louder. It was like I thought a gun went off. We both jumped, and I thought, no, you know how your tires. And that thing is so, it couldn't be flatter if it tried. Well, I hadn't had a flat tire in 26 years. Right? I'm serious. So I thought, flat tire. Well, now we're on the freeway, right? So it wasn't all that busy. It was Sunday afternoon. So we had to haul everything out of the trunk, out of the car, because everything was in the bottom, of course, where it was. And we got the stuff piled up, and here's our luggage, and here's our clothing, and everything. We get the tire out. And of course, I hadn't bothered checking that. Spare tires are overrated anyway, aren't they? So I said, oh, dude, there's no air. This is a problem. Bowser, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, I said, I think there's a little bit. It's not really a tire. You know what that thing is? I don't know what it looks like, a tire, but it's not. I said, there's a little bit of air in it that just keeps it off the rim. I don't think we're quite on the rim. And I said, there's got to be an exit up here. So we're driving along at 50 miles an hour, you know, and because it's a little really low. And we turn off the freeway to a stop sign where we're just going to see if I could put some more air in that spare. And all of a sudden, I come up to the stop sign, and bang! Somebody runs into the back of the car. Now, it's never happened to me ever before. It hadn't. So now we pull over, and Val said, oh, she starts to cry. She says, oh, what's happening? I said, I don't know what's happening, but something's happening. Just the insight. Notice the insight. Something's happening. And I go to get out, and he just drives away. He just turned around and went down the other way. Now, I looked, but there was virtually no damage. I said, how could that have been? We knew. He went bang. You know, our heads went forward. But you know, we had for moments there, I lost my equilibrium, and so did Val. You know, because we didn't know what to be. We didn't know what was happening. What is this? So he said, hey, there's we need to pray. We need to mount up on this. We need to take back something here. So we just bowed our hearts down. Two people sitting with a low tire saying, Lord, this, we take authority here. We thank you for your care for us. We thank you for watching. Thank you. Neither of us are hurt. Blew a tire at 70 miles an hour, and now we pull, somebody runs in. But Lord, we just praise you now. Thank you for your victory. Thank you for your peace. We claim your peace. In Jesus' name, we claim your peace. The God of all peace, who will garrison your heart and your mind. And you know, we bounced back within the hour. And then we were rejoicing and thanking the Lord. And Val says, you know, I know where we can get it fixed. No, you don't know where you can go. We don't know where you know where to get a tire. You can go to Walmart is where we can go. And sure enough, it was open 24/7. Now, how is that? You gotta love the Americans, don't you? Walmarts are open 24 hours a day. And it was a great moment. But I'm using that because I know what it was at 1 minute to feel overwhelmed. And then I say, okay, all right, now we know. Let's not let the enemy get any glory in this thing. We will now trust the Lord with our needs. So, Lord, today all my periods of recovery shall be below par. All of them. For I shall draw heavily on grace. As Isaiah 26, he who keeps his mind on them will be in perfect peace. Oh, let's move on. You won't be able to have an anxiety-free week or an hour-by-hour peace that the Lord would give you. You won't be able to have it if you're not plugged into the right source. If you're plugged into people, they will fail you. You must be plugged into the Lord, into the source. That's just, there's no other way around it. Your feet must be thoroughly planted in Him. And of course, Isaiah tells us that the youth will grow weary and the young man will faint, but they that wait upon the Lord, the everlasting Father, the God of all sufficiency, He's the one that we put our faith in. See, it's not just faith, it's faith in Him. So because our faith is in Him, we can change from fear to faith because we're plugged into the right source. If you're not in that source, when the hour comes, when the trial comes, you're finished. You've got no contribution. You can't calm somebody else's heart. You can't minister to somebody. You can't pray for somebody. You can't rescue anybody. Right? If you're going to rescue people, you're going to pull them out of a situation. I mean, a physical situation. Oh, somebody's been struck here. We got to help here. Let's help them. Well, I can't help if I'm over by the side, you know, and I'm completely out of it because I'm focused. I've got my source. I'm not plugged into the right source. When I'm plugged into the Lord, when you're plugged into the Lord, and trusting Him with your hand in His hand, saying, Lord, today, You are my sufficiency. And nothing can come by that You and I, Lord, are not going to be able to deal with here. So, plugged into the right source. Number four, Oswald Chambers. I stole it completely from him, and someday I'm going to have supper with him. My favorite person. This guy was a real guy. He's a real man's man, you know. They told him, they said, oh, no sense coming, Mr. Chambers, no sense coming to this, it was a military, YMCA place in Egypt where he was, and the soldiers were there, and he was supposed to be the chaplain to come and give them the word. He says, the men aren't interested. The men aren't interested in religious things. They just want a drink. And he said, no, I don't think so. And so they let him have a crack at it. From that point on, right till the time of his death, there would be 400 or 500 people would come and listen to him. The soldiers really liked Oswald Chambers. Now, here's what I liked about him. He said his motto was, trust God and take the next step. I've said that 100 times. You probably heard me say it here. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. But for Oswald Chambers, Oz as they called him, he said, listen, we trust God, but we take the next step. Now, he's referring in that particular time when he says that him and his wife were going over to Japan on a steamer, if you can imagine, in 1914. Yikes, what kind of a journey would that have been? But anyway, that's what he was doing. And she said, his wife said, Oz, you know, those meetings aren't set up. We don't know if the people are in place. We've got to, you know, this ministry we're supposed to be doing. We don't know where we're supposed to be. Everybody's going to be greeting us. And she was getting kind of worried. And he says, you know, dear, I don't think we need to worry. We need to just trust the Lord and take the next step. Oh, good. She said, what's the next step? He said, I believe I'll take a nap right now. That was the next step. I kid you not. That was what the next step was. And when he woke up 2 hours later, he said, I think I'm going to telegraph. I'm going to telegraph Japan and see how, and sure enough, he did. Of course, when you get there, there's a next step. Here's the truth. There will always be a next step. That is, if you know the Lord as your personal guide, you will never lack the next step. It might be if your house burns down, say, what am I going to do? I guess I'm going to trust God and get a motel. Right? There's a next step. There's always. God never will bring you to a place where there's not something you can do. It'll just be that way. It might be you make a phone call. It might be you go visit somebody. But there will be another step to take, and God will make sure that you take that. So trust God and take the next step. Oh, I want to live by that. I trust you do too. Number five, the antidote for anxiety. Here's what he says. You can read it in Philippians 4. If you underline your Bible, you'll want to underline Philippians 4:4-8. You just want to underline it because you just come back to it and come back to it and come back to it over and over again. But here it is. Number one, we're commanded not to be anxious. Do not worry about anything. Oh, how many here, you say other people probably describe you as a bit of a worrywart? Yeah, the word of the Lord is coming here. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and thanksgiving, thank you, God, for this opportunity to trust you. Let your request be made known to God. So, what is he saying? He's saying that you turn it over to the Lord, believing that He's going to take care of it. And their end result was that the God of peace would keep your mind and your heart. In other words, how you think and how you feel. Emotions can't be trusted, right? God has to garrison them or they get carried away. I wonder what it is about things that go bump in the night that are so... Nighttime. Is not nighttime the worst time? You wake up, you know, you probably walk... walking through the living room in the dark and can't sleep. You're thinking about something, worried about something. Paul's writing here and he says, listen, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. Just tell God. Here's the rub though. Most people don't pray about it. I just speak the truth. I've been in this work a long time. As a matter of fact, they're quite surprised. I'll be in their home and there's a major crisis. And I say, and I'll ask this question. I'll say, Vicky, have you prayed about it? Did you pray about it? No. No, I didn't pray about it. I said, I didn't think so. I didn't think so. That's because they hadn't prayed about it. You know, and other people, of course, would say, oh, I knew it was bad. Are we down to prayer? Is it got this bad? The pastor wants to pray. Holy moly, I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize I'm in this tough shape. We're done. We're going to pray about it. Hey, prayer's not the last thing. Prayer's the first thing. Right? And many times, I've done the same. I've been sweating and anxious and thoughts. And I said, you know, I kind of confuse fretting with prayer. I said to Val, I'm praying. She said, I think you're fretting. You know, when your eyebrows kind of come like that, that's not prayer, that's fretting. And so we cast our cares. We say, Lord, we come to you. We claim your perfect peace. We give this anxiety to you. Lord, it's scaring the life out of me, but I give it to you. I'm overwhelmed, Lord. God, dear God, I'm overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by, I don't know whether I can handle it. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know if we're going to have enough money. You know, there's endless things, right? And then those voices say, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? It all comes against us there together. But the antidote for anxiety is to place it on the Lord. And to be sure that you say, because here's the question. We could put it up. We should put it up in the morning, Sunday morning. Have you prayed about it? Because without praying about it, I guarantee that will do you in. It's when you pray, but say, I've prayed about it. And therefore, I can, within that hour, I can regain the equilibrium and the strength of the Lord. Number six. I think sometimes there's life that happens. And sometimes it's different than just life. Like I expect from time to time someone's going to run into my car, I'm going to have a flat tire, I'm going to be short of money, I'm going to be worried about some crazy thing. And that's just life, right? We all put our pants on one leg at a time. There's no difference that way. Not the best illustration, but you got what I'm saying. But sometimes it's something else. It's darker. I have been in a room where I felt fear came into the room. A spirit of fear. Let me shorten it. A demon. A demon of fear. I could feel it. And I could feel the tension in myself. I could feel the weakness of my heart and the pounding of my heart. Because I knew that the enemy had made an inroad. And that it wasn't just life. It wasn't just, so you got a headache. I mean, or it wasn't just, so you got to go to the doctor. It was different. It was an attack. And there will not be a family here today that will not say, I don't know what that's like, when the enemy came. And what does he come with? He comes with what he always comes with, fear. To cripple you. To make you feel that there's no hope to it. It's hopeless, right? It feels hopeless. When the spirit of fear comes, it feels hopeless. And now, and, you know, the point is I often didn't know what to do. What do we do? But when you can realize and you start getting the clear teaching on this thing, you don't let it persist. And many times, Val and I have just prayed together. We hold hands together and we'll say, Lord, we just want to announce Calvary's victory in our lives. And we announce Calvary's victory over our home and over our bedroom and over our living room and over our hallways. We announce Calvary's victory. See, and we command, and listen, you can't wish those things away. You can't have just kind of go away. It doesn't work that way. The spirit of fear only leaves by command. Amen. We command him. We command fear to leave that hospital room. We command fear to leave your home. Your car. Why? Because that's the authority that we have in Jesus. It's different. Sometimes they're just ordinary things, but there is that time when you know there's just other forces at work here because you can feel it. You can feel the despair. It's got a different kind of a quality about it. But the answer is the same, where we rise up and we with the armor of the Lord on and we say fear. By the way, the reason we must deal with it is because fear has torment. Fear will torment you. and it'll do you in, and you will worry yourself into the hospital. You will worry yourself onto medication. You will worry yourself. And so we pray against with a strong name. Oh, the strong name of Jesus. What confidence we have in that. And we bless his name. Lastly, we learn to live in the moment. Tomorrow hasn't come. Yesterday's gone. Nothing I can do about yesterday. But I can live in the moment. We're not airy-fairy people, crazy dreams, something down the road. No, just today. And Jesus said that he would, fear not, are you not worth more than many sparrows? He said, don't worry about tomorrow. That is the greatest lesson that we'll ever learn. If you can learn, if I can learn, not to live in the future, but just to live for today, doing what God wants us to do today. So it's hour by hour. See the point? If I'm doing the will of the Lord right now, then I'm going to trust the Lord that this afternoon I'm going to be doing the will of the Lord then. And I'll live in the now. I'll live in the moment. Psalms 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears us up. Daily bears us up. I would say hourly bears us up. So that we have confidence in him. And that there is that when you walk into a situation, people can feel your confidence. They say, you've gone through a terrible time. Yes, I've gone through a terrible time. But the Lord was with me. And I've wrestled that thing. I brought about his victory to that situation. I brought about the help of the Lord to that situation. And you never know. The reason why we must walk in faith and confidence, because there's needs to be met. We can't be thinking about ourselves, about how scared we are, how worried we are. We must cast that away so that I can put on Christ and the armor of the Lord to be a blessing to people. Mm-hmm. So that I can pray peace with them because my heart's at peace. I can pray help for them because my heart has been helped. Do you see the difference? That it's imperative that we walk not in the fear but in the faith that the Lord gives us. So here's my closing thought. There's, on a practical basis, this is to me, it's always the more difficult part. How does it work on Monday? Sunday seems to go fine when you toss it out to a crowd. Yeah, everybody, oh yeah, this is good. Faith versus fear. Oh, very good. Well, remind yourself tomorrow that we said this, right? There's two things. Number one, you already know about your schedule for tomorrow, right? You've got an appointment. You're going to get up at, you're going to shower, you're going to shave, you're going to go to your office, or you're going to go to the garage, you're going to go visit your children, but you already know your schedule for tomorrow. I presume you do. I know mine. Basically, I know what mine is. And so, every day, commit that to the Lord. Commit your schedule to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I've got to work here at 9 to 5, but Lord, I give that to you. Make me a blessing to the guys at work. Lord, make me a blessing. I've got to make some, whatever you do. So you commit what you know to Christ. Because you know that's what you're going to do. There's no difference. You're going to go to work like you always do. You're going to come home like you always do. You're going to take the bus. You're going to ride. But you already know. That's what you do. It's what you do every day. So you give that to God. Say, God, I just give that all to you. I'm in all your ways, acknowledge him. So I'm acknowledging you in my schedule. Okay, that's the easy part. Here's the other part. You have to yield the part you don't know. What? The part that goes, just roars up. There's no warning. You don't have time to put the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You don't have time to take authority. That thing is bang, right there in your face. Some encounter. Somebody told me just last Sunday, they said they went to work this last week. Now, the week before, I guess it would have been. And they said, this committee came in their office. She said, I knew them because I worked with them for 15 years. Only it's the firing committee. And they came to her and she told me and she said, they said, we're awful sorry to tell you this, but you're out of here. She said, the shock. She said, that my colleagues who had to be part of the firing, she said, they couldn't look at me. Because they knew this was really a real kick in the face. 15 years and you're just turfing me out. Yeah, downsizing. You don't fit here. You're gone. She said, you're just, whoa, whoa, whoa. He said, all swirling around, right? It's just, oh my goodness. I'm on my way to work. There was no time to pray about that. There was no time to think about it. There was no time to analyze it. It's just there. They said, you come with us now, bring your jacket, because you won't be coming back. Right? That's how you don't get to stay in the building in case you press counts receivable and they disappear. So you have to. She's 15 years, she said, and they're escorting me out as if I'm going to be, as though I'm going to steal from the till before I leave. But she said, you know, it was really interesting. I gave that to, when I finally was able to kind of get stop shaking and crying. She said, I gave it over to the Lord. Found out that my separation amount of money was so pitiful that I was going to maybe go and get a lawyer because it was so. That's what I get. That's 15 years worth. And all of a sudden, the company thought twice about it and gave her, I think, something about three times more than what they were planning on. She said, oh, my goodness. I wouldn't have worried so much had I known how well they were going to come. She said, God took care of it. Now, that to me is kind of an example of the process of this thing. The things that, so first of all, pray about your week. And then secondly, say, Lord, all the things that will rear up, all the things that will come against me, all the situations that I won't be able to control, and I don't want to be swearing, I want to be praising. So, Lord, I pray that every situation that happens, I will react in a Christ-like way. And I ask you to do that by the work of your grace. So, in other words, she said, if something bad happens, I'm not going to be swearing. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to be praising. She said, I've committed. And so what we do is we take these things in our lives and we present them to God so that now we're ready for life. We've given our schedule over for the day, and we've given all the unknown things. All the unknown things are now placed in the hand of the Lord. So if whatever happens, we just have a trust, I will react the way I'm supposed to react. Because I've already prepared myself, and I won't worry about it. I'm just giving it to God. Stand with me, please. What I think we'll do, our time is gone, but This is good stuff. Because every day there are concerns. Every day there are concerns. And life's not probably going to get any better. It's going to be just the same. Our strength is in the Lord. Our joy is in the Lord. But we now are people that can be wonderfully effective because we're not controlled by anxiety. Gary, that's such a good title. A week without anxiety. And he texts them. His congregation, he texts them to encourage them. Don't worry. Trust the Lord. Look to him. And I know, even me saying this, I know I have an opportunity to do that. Just know that. But this, folks, is unbelievably practical. It works. You can walk in that confidence. Is there moments? Oh, sure there's moments. Right? A friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine said, Owen, I was thinking about either praying or drinking. I'm ready down to that. I'm not kidding. I'm on the verge of drinking, but I might be praying. I don't know. What do you think? I said, well, prayer is fine, but liquor is quicker. However, there might be another perspective to it. Maybe we should pray together. Yeah, well, he said, if we don't pray, it is going to be that. He was just being wonderfully honest. He said, thought just what he'd been facing. He said, my goodness, he said, that's how clergy drinking starts. But he didn't. He trusted the Lord. And I'd like to pray over you, but what I want you to do, let's just bow our heads. If somebody's here today, I'm just going to remember especially you. If you're here and you've got something on your plate or something's been happening to you the last couple of weeks, you say, I'm just feeling pretty overwhelmed and I do want to trust the Lord, but I need a greater grace because I find myself taking it back again. Slip your hand up if that's you. Yeah. You know what? You're like us. You're like the rest of us here. And for that reason, I will pray for you. Lord, I thank you for the honest hands that just said I'm not handling life very well. And so, Spirit of the Lord, we just pray that you would come, and you would touch, you would encourage. Thank you that you're our glory and the lifter of our head. Oh, Lord, thank you. You said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If the Lord is with me, who can be against me? Lord, we bathe ourselves in the truth of your word. We submit and we fling ourselves into the security of your love and into the significance of your purposes for our lives, Lord. We thank you. You knew the day of our birth and you'll know the day of our death. We will not worry. We refuse to worry. We're going to live under par. Lord, and every time we have an hour, we're going to, by the end of that hour, we're going to say, I am the Lord's and everything is okay. By the grace of God, it's okay. And Lord, I pray that because we're not focusing on ourselves, I pray that you'd help us to bring the peace of Jesus to people around us. Lord, we don't want to waste these things. And so, Lord, I pray that each person who's had their hand up here today will walk out of here just filled with a sense of you, Lord, saying, do not worry about this. Do not worry about this. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. And Lord, together we repent of our unbelief and we repent, Lord, that we acted like there was no God. We forgot the Lord. So Lord, we haven't forgotten this morning. So we put on Christ. We clothe ourselves in Christ. And we wear it all day long, Lord. And we'll thank you at the end of the day. Lord, we'll be able to say thank you for your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every night. The end of that day, that hourly living and that moment-by-moment living, thank you for teaching us how to live in an anxiety-filled world. And we pray this in the strong name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. 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 Let's give him a hand, clap offering. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this morning. Make sure you give Gary and Chris a before they leave here this morning. And blessings on each of you. Careful with the roads. And trust the Lord and we'll let him take the next steps for us. God bless you.